Welcome to On the Edge with April Mahoney Brains. Here, this is the place where the conversation is pointed, the guests are sharp, and the responses are never dull. Welcome home, Brains.
Coming to you straight from San Diego, California, let's welcome our host, April Mahoney.
Hey, Brains, how you doing? When's the last time you really checked in with yourself, tapped into that subconscious mind? I got somebody that's going to lead us, guide us, facilitate us, and maybe coach and train us. It is Evelyn Wang. I always want to call her Wong. I don't know. I got that implanted in my brain, but, you know, we know that it is Wang. So thanks so much for being on the show with us. I'm so glad to have her. You know, Brains, after dedicating her experience in life to self-development and peak performance and holistic health field, that's what she was in, it became clear to her and her partner, Jack Landingham, that there was something critically missing, a component that would entirely encapsulate what people were learning. It was a standard educational offering that they were missing, how to effectively work with the subconscious mind to awaken the human potential. That's huge. Her lifelong passion is to share and to help you direct this experience. It's extraordinary. Now, we've had many great thought leaders and hypnotherapists on the show, but we've never had one that has actually facilitated and was the teacher to the trainer who's going to help facilitate through this. So I'm excited to have her here. I want to welcome her to the show. Come on and take a seat at the table, Evelyn Wang. How are you, girl?
Good. Thank you for having me, April. I'm really excited to be on the show and to share my experience and knowledge to your listeners. So thank you so much.
Okay, they like to be called brains. They get off on that. It stimulates their cranium.
Okay. To share my message to your brains.
Right. And, you know, Yes. You're doing that at the Center for Advanced Life Skills. That's California, north of me. So tell me, how did you get to doing that? How did you start tripping inside of people's subconscious mind?
Well, I've always been interested in human behavior. I love to people watch. When I was young, and I used to go to the mall with my friends and just sit in the middle of the mall, just watch people, how they react to each other, how they're interacting with each other. So, and that was just my personal joy of watching people. And actually went into customer service and sales management field for a very long time. And in that part of working with people, there's a lot of people watching as well, you know, as you were servicing and selling products. And after working in the corporate field for a long time, just got laid off, job after job. And after my father passed away, it's in the same time I was laid off another job. I decided, you know, it's time for me just to move on and move away from the corporate setting and doing something that I really enjoy. And I wasn't really quite sure what it was, but I know I wanted to do something to help people. And so I went on the journey of looking for another job. I landed a job at the Camarillo State Hospital and working with clients there. And that took my curiosity to the next level on people, on human behavior.
Mm-hmm. And I know. Well, I've heard that that's a pretty heavy place to work at. And, you know, like you're talking about watching people, that's my mother. My mother's 89 years old, and I have to tell her, Mommy, you got to dial back on those eyeballs. I say, because somebody's going to jack you up. She says, I just want to check them out from head to toe. I said, well, Mama, everybody's not, you know, comfortable in that space. So I get it. But working with people with mental health challenges, be it from the very small to the very, very intense, is it's heavy-duty work. It is, and especially I've heard a lot about the hospital and the facility and the wonderful work that they do there. But after you started working there, you decided to go and take it a step further and really start dealing with the subconscious and finding out why people react the way that they do, and then throwing in some neuro-linguistic programming to help them change the things that they do. Share a little bit about that with us.
Yeah, after the hospital closed, I met my partner, Jack, and he's been involved with personal development for a long time. So we started talking, and we both started the journey of going to school for hypnotherapy and further went on training for NLP. And I personally took the hypnotherapy course as more of a personal journey as well as professional. I was working through some of the issues that I have personally, because for instance, my father just passed away. I wanted to better my relationship with my mother. So I thought, hey, going to school, learning the tools, I'll be helping myself and also gaining tools to help others. And I dive into the work for myself, worked with my mentor, utilizing the tools that I learned. And now my relationship with my mother is just night and day. It's so much better. And personally experience the shift myself, how the work works. So it's definitely a process. It's something where, you know, most of us are subjective to our own problems, you know, and that's all we think about. We want to find a solution for the problem. So once we have a problem that we want a solution for, one problem leads to another problem, and then leads to another problem. So it takes us down to this rabbit hole. And, you know, by the time that you're in this rabbit hole, it's almost as if I don't know what to do anymore. It's so overwhelming. Where do I start? And what we do in for NLP and hypnosis is to help people to think objectively of their problems rather than subjective. Rather than subjectively. And this way we're helping them to think outside of their box, and also helping them to step out of the comfort zone as comfortably as possible.
Right. Because, well, you know, change is uncomfortable.
Change is definitely, and it's not a, you know, and it's not a fun thing. Not everybody's going to jump to it and say, oh, you want to change? Oh, yeah, me, you know, first. Very popular way for people to live. However, there's things are always changing. It's not that some things change, we're not consciously aware of it. I mean, as we grow, it's already an evolutional growth that it's happening. So there's something that you cannot control. However, there's situations that we encounter, and we're learning things every day. It's just that it's not consciously popping up at you and say, hey, you're learning this today.
You know, I want to dial back a little bit, because you mentioned, you know, your relationship with your mom. You don't have to go into too much of that, but, you know, you come from a very diverse background. You know, you were born in Taiwan, and then you moved to Guam, here to the United States, and I'm sure that there's cultural differences, there's responsibility, there's a suppression of a voice in a lot of cultures and Eastern Asian countries. So tell us a little bit about that and how that has helped you morph into the woman that you are today.
Yeah, and you mentioned it, the culture in my household, you know, and I'm sure there's a lot of Chinese culture and Chinese family. This is very strict. There's a system in place in the house, so there's not a lot of room of us expressing emotions with each other. I mean, especially in our family. So it's more, you know, our parents is the authority figure. We do what they ask us to do. So, and when we're in Taiwan, that's, you know, majority of the time is there's a schedule for everything. And as our family moved to Guam, it was this complete culture shock in a way where, wow, they're doing what? They can do what? I mean, my friends are going out, hanging out with their friends. They can go to you know, slumber parties and stuff like that was never heard of, you know, in my world. So it was from living in Taiwan where there's, you know, in a city where there's buildings, high rises, to Guam where there's little island surrounded by ocean and palm trees. So it's more of a relaxed mode, yet it was really fun for me to adapt to it because it almost felt like I was free in a sense because of the environment. And but I was able to adapt to it. It was very interesting when I learned to speak English when we moved to Guam. So I learned to speak English when I was 7, and I was in the same class with my sister. So along with a lot of foreign students. So it was very interesting at Guam, even though we're learning English, I'm still interacting with people from all over the world.
Right.
So
right.
There's a mixture of that too. And that I believe it made me felt more comfortable to be able to adapt to a different culture.
Right. So I hear that some of the fun things you like to do, some of your hobbies, is travel, and you're a foodie.
Yes,
are you a foodie?
I am definitely a foodie. Yes, I am. I love
to
try.
What kind of food do you like? And can you cook?
Yes, I do. I do cook. So I cook a lot of, I like to, you know, experiment different cuisines. So I cook a lot of Chinese cuisines and of course, American food. But I like to experiment with different recipes. And, being a Chinese, our taste buds has a lot of variety. So I love to experiment with different food. And one thing was a lot of people are kind of have a version of chicken feet. And I love chicken feet. So...
Well, when I was in China,
odd.
I just didn't see anything. There was no meat on it. It's like when you go to New Orleans and they have those crawfish or crawdad. It's so much work to sit there and do it.
I know.
What do you like about a chicken foot?
Well, I think that's the fun of it. I think it's like there's no meat in it, but it's the taste of it, and it's the texture of it. And also, I'm sure you heard of stinky tofu, and
right.
I love that stuff too. So, and it just, you know, people, my mom and my brother, they can't stand it either, but I really enjoy it. I don't see it as stinky at all. You know, it just,
right.
to me, it's very fragrant. So
wow.
There's a lot of different things that I would try and experience them because that's one way to know the culture too. You know, to
exactly.
me, that's food is what shows how people eat and how they live is from the food that they eat. So,
well, you know,
food
is a meditation and cooking is a meditation. And it's
yes.
very, you know, you take a lot of time. I tell this story that me and my daughter got into a little disagreement, and so I told her to go in there and make the tacos. And she slammed the pots and pans, and she cut the, you know, she cut the onion all big and all this kind of stuff. And then she went, "Your food's ready." And I said, "Oh, no, I'm not eating that." And she says, "Well, why not? I made it for you." I said, "Because you know what? You're pouring into my soul. Your anger, your hostility, all of that was transmitted through what you did, through your actions into my soul." So we want to talk about food for the soul because that is what you are doing when you're deep into meditation, when you're deep into thought, when you're trusting someone to guide you through this process and then help you adjust your neuro-linguistic programming. Tell me a little bit about your training and what you offer to the students there at your center.
Yeah, neuro-linguistic programming is the relationship between our mind, which is neuro, linguistic is the language, and language consists of language we speak out loud, language we speak to ourselves internally, and also our body language, and programming, which is our behavior, what we learn from, you know, from when we're young, and or you can pick up any habit at any age, really. So it's about the relationship between our mind and body. So what we believe is that no one is broken. You know, we're not fixing anyone. we're just helping them to tap into the resources that they already have, that some of them, that's been forgotten, that it's there. So we are, NLP is more about the how process, how a person thinks, how a person is building that problem for themselves. Because we all think differently. We have different map of the world. We have our own map. You know, you can go to a movie with five friends, and after the movie, all five of you are going to come out with different experience.
Absolutely.
And you take different things from the movie. And that's the reason, you know, and so we work with clients in a custom way because we all think differently. So NLP is very different in a way that we tap into the unconscious mind to find that root cause of the problem, of to replace a behavior that's no longer serving you with something that works better. And
how
that's
does that show
that,
up? How do you recall that? That's what I've always wondered. You know, when you do the NLP, is this something that you have, that the person that's receiving this, do they have to practice this? Is this a part of their meditation? Is this a part of, I don't know, where is that housed in the subconscious
mind?
Yeah,
the how, it's more about, I'll give you an example. If someone is saying that they are unable to find someone, a partner in a relationship, they're talking about that issue. And then what I sometimes will do is I would ask them how they're feeling about that issue. And that similar emotion that they're feeling, is there a situation that they're feeling the same type of emotion? And they will. There'll be another situation. And then I will ask them, what is the relationship between that situation and the current situation? And 99% of the time, they will connect the dots. Because it's not the situation, it's how you are interpreting the situation.
Right.
It's
how
you put a meaning behind the words that's being said, the situation that's happening, you know, because we don't know what the other person is thinking. So many times, the most common thing that we do is, he makes me mad. He makes me so mad. He did this and did that. Well, NLP the question would be, how specifically is he making you mad? Because no one can make anyone do anything if they don't want to
right.
do it. So right. the emotion is derived from you rather than the other person. So you are affected by the other person's behavior. So you do still have a choice whether to react or just to respond in a different way. So that's how we're teaching our clients and also teaching our students on how to ask certain questions. And the main thing we do instill with our students is just to be curious, you know, because curiosity is where you're going to find the answers. Relaxation is where you're going to find the answers. I mean, I'm sure you have experienced this before when you're in the shower, feeling that water trickling down
right.
your head all the way down to your toes. You're feeling really relaxed. You'll come up with ideas, solutions, because that's the time that you're so relaxed. Your mind is not clogged with all the problems, all the concerns and worries that you have. Once
right.
you are relaxed mentally, emotionally, and physically, solutions pop up. So in this work, too, that we promote and we tell our students is to know that it's okay not to know. So a lot of people want to know. They want to know
right.
the answer. They want to know. They got to know. And that's what creates the anxiety. And that's what creates
mm-hmm.
the hamster wheel going, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So once you relax into it and trust that you don't know, the answers will pop up. It's just
wow.
really helping them to understand it's okay not to know. You don't, I mean, the thing is, when we learn something new, we don't know anything in the beginning.
Right. Right.
So, and that's how we're
right.
going to learn. Because if you know everything, how are you going to learn?
Right. It strips you down to your vulnerability. Do you go as deep in your training and teaching to work with people with past life regressions?
Yeah, in hypnotherapy, we do talk a little bit about the past life regression. It's very popular. I think that in the public, they also associate hypnosis or hypnotherapy with past life regression, and among other things such as weight loss and you know, smoking cessations. But past life regression is definitely a tool where it's a nice journey guiding someone to seek, you know, if there's answers there for themselves, or just wanted to find out what are there a past life for them, what's going on in the past, you know. But what we do is, along with the journeys, we want them to learn something from that journey so that they can take those learning with them to the present self and the future self. And we're really, really big on learnings. You know, once we learn something, we can let it go, and we're not doing the bad behaviors or the things that's not helping us. Once we learn that's not helping us, then we'll find a solution. So learnings is huge in our work.
Right.
You know, we really believe in about learnings in order to let go and find relief for yourself.
Well, with the learning, too, you understand the consequences that happen from certain behaviors or certain actions. You also are exhilarated with the excitement of knowing the answer to whatever your question is, but it also opens up a path for more questions and more curiosity, because now you've exuded the fear out of all of that.
Yes.
So there's some heavy lifting. So what do you do for yourself? How do you take yourself down? You know, because I can do some real deep meditations. I see psychedelic colors. I'm like, ooh, I know I ain't ate no mushrooms or popped no pills. And all these colors, where are these colors coming from? This is like super cool.
Yeah.
So what do you do for yourself to just decompress and take yourself into a hypnotic state to release this? Because you're doing heavy lifting. Not only are you facilitating the instructors, but I'm sure that you work with clients, but this is a lot on you. It's a heavy load to carry. What do you do for yourself? How's your self-care?
Yeah, I start the day, you know, with we also teach an energy healing modality, and so I practice that throughout the day. So what I start the day with is I run energy in the morning, and then I do my morning pages, I write, and then I also meditate. And then at every night, since I'm a hypnotherapist, I make my own audio, because I know what I want. So I put all the suggestions in the audio. I listen to it every night before I go to bed.
That's what I started doing too.
Yeah.
I started doing that to manifest for the next day. And it is incredible. It really works, brains. I'm telling you.
Yeah. It really
does.
Because
we always have this negative self-talk. I can't do this. I can't lose weight. I'm not happy. My job is not this. My job is not that. Or, you know, the mother-in-law is this. But when you change that conversation with yourself, you would be surprised. And, I mean, you know, I'm all about the hypnosis and hypnotherapy. I'm with that. I've never been taken down by a professional, and that's my goal this August for my birthday. So you'll probably see me coming through the door. But this is something that I really want to do, and I know that there's been a calling on my heart to do a past life regression. So we'll talk a little bit more about that offline. But I think what you are doing is incredible. It takes a lot of work. You don't have to do it. It was a choice that you're working with people to better themselves. You know, don't be afraid of what you don't know, because you don't know what you don't know. Evelyn just told you that.
Yeah.
So please tell my brains what they should know, and that's how to get in contact with you.
How you can contact us is the website is Center for Advanced Life Skills.com. And the phone number is 310-935-4349. And you can go to our site and you can complete a contact information. Our classes are very small. We keep it in a maximum of six people. Jack and I like to be involved in the training a lot. So there's a lot of hands-on practice. And we like to get involved with the exercises because we want to make sure that you experience a shift during the training. So I like to tell potential clients who calls is to see this training as not only you're gaining tools to help yourself and others, you are actually experiencing a shift during the training, to see it more of a mini private coaching for yourself. It's a very comfortable setting. Our office is not a standard office. It's set up like a living room. We have a fireplace and a loft. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to be very comfortable in the setting, because I believe that it's a lot more fun learning in a comfortable environment and laugh throughout the training.
Right. Well, yeah. You know what? You and Jack are at the top of your game, absolutely, and I can't wait to come up that way and visit you. Brains, I need you to understand that, this is food for the soul. We're really trying to take you to 5D. It's coming. The frequency is changing, and people all over the planet are feeling the vibration, and I need you to get on board. Because you are brains, and that's why you keep coming to the edge. Thank you so much, Elizabeth.
Thank you.
For coming here on the edge and being with us. I really appreciate you wholeheartedly. Brains, go back and listen to other edgy conversations. I got them here for you. Art, entertainment, music, science, love, recovery, some jazz. We got a little bit of everything. We brush it with a broad stroke here on the edge. And go back to my page. Check it out, because we have a link to Evelyn's, her website, as well as the facility. If nothing else, call for a consultation. You can't do nothing but expand your bandwidth. Isn't that right?
Mm-hmm. That's right.
All right. So
good.
Thank you again for coming on the edge.
Much.
Come back and check in with me sometime and see what's going on. See if I can change my neuro-linguistic programming.
Yes. I'm here to help.
All right, brains. Check it out. I'll talk to you real soon. Have a great day.
Bye.
Bye-bye.